Why are we so drawn to battle? Now your first thought might be, well, I'm not at all. I'd rather avoid conflict whenever I can. And certainly in that light, probably most of us feel that way. I would just as soon not get into it if I can avoid it. But while this is true, I'm thinking probably more along the lines of our entertainment, the stories that we gravitate to. When it comes to books that we read, movies that we watch, even sports that often engage our attention, at the heart of it is always a battle of some kind, some struggle that must be overcome, some conflict between people that needs resolution, some unknown result that we are watching to see as the struggle is ongoing. In fact, if this is not happening, we have a tendency to be disappointed. I've heard many people talk about movies that they've seen and they'll say, well, I don't know why I bothered watching that. Nothing happened. Ordinary life, in those terms, is not what we want to see. Now, I think there's a reason that we are drawn to this. The reason is that deep down in us, we know that while we might rather avoid conflict when we can, we know that it's really unavoidable. That no matter what, we're going to have to deal with conflict. It's going to come up around us in relationships that we have, in situations that have to be overcome. So we are drawn to these stories because they are stories ultimately of triumph. The kind of stories that inspire us and help us see that there can be victory in the struggle. That we can see that no matter what the odds might be, we can respond. We are inspired by people who do so. We can draw strength from the model of those that we admire. Now, because of this, it's really part of human nature. Part of what it means to be alive in this world. And this reality is, in fact, a starting point for faith. Because this battle does describe the life of faith. At least since that original sin. Before sin, there was perfect unity. But once the fall happened, all of us have to deal with this struggle. And it's not just a struggle in the grand sense of overcoming the hurdles in front of us, but something deeper in us, something personal, a struggle for our very souls. And so the consequences of this struggle matter. And God, who created us, He doesn't just abandon us to the struggle. He gives us what we need to be successful. To draw strength so that we can engage in the struggle in a way that brings our souls closer to God. The Bible, our Catholic faith, the saints, all the different aspects of how we live our faith, they all try to point out the reality of the battle and the path to victory. Now, it's not a steady path. Rather, it's more of a back and forth. We all know the experience of at times responding well and overcoming and at other times falling back. We advance and then we pull back. We sin and then God must lift us up again. We trust and then we worry some more. It's these contradictions in us that are unfortunately part of who we are. We are both the person who succeeds and the person who fails. But in all of this, God is present. And the stories of Scripture and the practice of faith, they want us to look squarely at this reality. Because if we ignore it, we will almost certainly lose the struggle. Now, today's readings hold up for us something of this struggle. In the first reading, we have the low point in this struggle. The absolute failure to the point that all of creation is going to be destroyed. God warns that the flood is coming. But as bad as this moment is, the fact that all was nearly lost, it is only nearly lost. Because there is still Noah. and his family. There is still an example of those who were faithful when no one else was faithful. And in the end, the story of Noah and his family, despite all of the destruction, is a story of hope, a story of promise. And what we hear in today's reading has God telling us, never again will it get to this point. Never again will all be destroyed. He holds up for us the possibility of success, the possibility of faithfulness. But it still does not mean the battle is over. And when Jesus comes along, in today's gospel, we have Jesus engaging in that battle in the form of temptation. And pointing out that reality, Jesus, in the face of temptation, is one of the crucial parts of how we engage in that battle. This is how we experience the battle, primarily temptation. Jesus takes on this reality in his human flesh. We might think, well, he's really God, so it wasn't that much of a struggle. But he was fasting for 40 days and was said, turn these stones into bread. The human part of him that hungered felt that temptation, and yet he would not listen to the temptation, telling us that we live by more than bread alone. And in today's gospel, he calls on each one of us in our own battle. Repent and believe in the gospel. Now, Lent is a time when we engage in this struggle better, usually. We take on practices that give us perspective in terms of faith. We try to commit more time to the things that will strengthen us as we continue this battle. So to help us in these days of Lent, I want to hold up for you three sources of the temptations that we face. The church points out that these three sources are part of the struggle that we must engage in. And so temptations can come to us from traditionally the world, the flesh, and the devil. The world, the flesh, and the devil. The devil is certainly real, and we must engage in that battle against him. In fact, here at Christ the King, at the end of all of our Sunday Masses, we say the prayer, Saint Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. We highlight the fact that there is a real power outside of us working against us, but even then we are not left alone. God protects, and he gives us the saints and the angels and the church to guide us in this path. But we can't just blame the devil for all of the temptations that we face. As conscious as we must be of the voice of the deceiver, some of our temptation comes from the world around us, from a world that has misguided values, that holds up for us all kinds of things that say, pursue this, consume this, experience joy and happiness, only to have those things end up being empty, giving us less than our heart really desires. So the world challenges us, and we must overcome them by looking at the values that come from God, that really come from the desire of our hearts. But the temptations we face are not all from outside of us. In addition to dealing with temptation from the world and the devil, there is the temptation that comes from the flesh, which is to say, from within me. And the fact that I want things that I know are harmful to me, from the fact that I can too easily be selfish. And if I ignore this struggle, I will most certainly give in. And so Lent is a time for us to take seriously the practice of our faith, but to be conscious of exactly what struggle are we engaged in. The struggle of Lent is not to see if I can persevere in giving something up for 40 days, but rather to judge what I truly value. To recognize that while Jesus has already won the great battle by dying on the cross and rising, the skirmish remains for my soul. And if I don't engage, I will fall. I hold up these temptations and I intentionally use this language of battle because complacency is often the first temptation that we have. The temptation to say, well, it's not really that important. It doesn't really matter that much. But it's about our very souls. It matters more than anything. And so as we engage in the practice of these days of Lent, as we take on the practices of prayer and almsgiving and fasting, we engage more fully in cooperating with God for our very souls, shaping our lives around the values that come from God, drawing strength from the promises of God, seeing in the stories of struggle around us the possibility of hope. And as Jesus holds up for us His own example and says, repent and believe in the gospel, He tells us the reason why. The kingdom of God is at hand. And so our battle is to choose God's kingdom over all the rest. Lent can help us take up the charge.